We'll begin today in Philippians 2:16. Philippians chapter 2. Let's start reading and studying in verse 16. Here Paul said, "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Paul is continuing what he just said in verses 14 and 15. There he said, "Do all things without murmurings, that is, complainings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." So as you do all things without complaining and bickering, as you shine as lights in the world, he says that we as Christians are to hold forth the word of life. The word of life here, of course, is the gospel. The word is called the word of life because it gives spiritual life. Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." That is, they are the source of spiritual life. They're the source especially of eternal life. John 6, verse 63. So as Christian people, our life is to be what it should be. We're not to go around complaining and arguing over senseless things and small things. We're to live a godly life and shine as lights in the world. So we proclaim Christ through our lives, but we also hold forth the word of life. That is, we hold forth the word of life to the world. We teach the gospel. We defend the gospel, and we show the world that the gospel is the only way to be saved. That's holding forth the word of life. You see, in verse 16, he's saying that that's what we're to do. Now, Paul is going to talk about himself, and he's going to say some things about his plans and his part in this. But for right now, when he says to hold forth the word of life, that means that Christians are to do that. And he says that the reason that he hopes and prays that they will do this is so that, he says, I may rejoice in the day of Christ, so that he can have the satisfaction and the joy of knowing, especially at the day of judgment when Jesus comes again, that these people have been saved. This meant a great deal to the Apostle Paul. You'll notice as Paul writes to these congregations that he is truly concerned about them. He doesn't look at these churches and just think of them as people that he has no connection with, that he doesn't really care anything about. Paul really cares about these people. As a matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, Paul said that one of the things that came upon him daily was the care of all the churches. So Paul says, I want you to live a godly life. I want you to shine as lights in the world. I want you to hold forth the word of life so that when that day, the day of Jesus coming, arrives, he said, I can rejoice, so that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Paul is not talking about his reward here. Paul is not expressing some kind of doubt about whether he's going to receive the crown of life. He's talking about them. And he's saying that if they are faithful, if they do what they should do, then in the day of judgment he can rejoice, and he will not have to live with the idea that he has, in their instance, in regard to them, labored in vain. Because Paul had put a lot of work into these churches. He'd put a lot of work and sacrifice into the church at Philippi. And he hopes and prays that that will not be in vain. He hopes that they will do what is right and that they will endure to the end. So he says in verse 17, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all." What does Paul mean here when he talks about being offered? He says, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith." Well, an offering meant that the animal that was taken to the temple and sacrificed was killed. And so what Paul is saying here is, even if he dies because of his service to them and his sacrifices for them, he says, I rejoice. Paul didn't regret that. Now, remember what Paul has already said back in chapter 1. when he thought about living or dying. Paul said, as far as he's concerned, to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. So actually here, he's just building on that very point, isn't he? If I'm offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Paul said back in Philippians chapter 1 that he expected, that he was confident that he was going to be released. And in the book of Philemon, verse 22, he told Philemon to prepare him a place to stay, a lodging. So Paul did not expect to be executed. What he's saying is, even if I am, even if they do put me to death, here's how I feel about that. Here's how I'm looking at that. And not only that, he says, here is how you should, and here is how you do look at it yourself. In verse 18, for the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. So remember that one of the main themes in this book is giving. It is thinking about other people. It is doing things for other people, especially in the church. And that means sacrificing, giving up what you want or what you are doing so that you can help other people. Now, we're going to see a prime example of that kind of sacrificial spirit in the verses that follow. Read very carefully, beginning in verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Paul says that I'm trusting to send Timothy shortly, soon, to you. Why was Paul sending Timothy? Because Timothy would be able to go to the church at Philippi and see how these brethren were doing. He was going to check up on them to see how things were going, and then he would report back to Paul. Now, Paul does this several times in the New Testament. You'll notice that he does that with the church at Corinth, and he's doing that here with the church at Philippi. He didn't just preach the gospel to them and establish the church there in Ephesus and Philippi and all these other places and then just forget about these people. Paul remained constantly in prayer for these churches, and he was always concerned about them. So now he's a prisoner, he is under house arrest, and he's sending Timothy back to find out how the church at Philippi is doing. And he says, when Timothy gets back and hopefully and prayerfully gives me a good report, then he says, I will be of good comfort when I know your state. That is, when I know more about how things are going with you. Now, notice especially what Paul says in verse 20. This is one of the highest compliments, but at the same time, it's one of the saddest statements and reflections on the other Christians found in the New Testament. In verse 20, Paul said, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. He's talking about Timothy. And he says, I don't have anybody else like him. Now, Paul didn't say, I don't have anybody to send there besides Timothy. He says, I don't have anybody like Timothy to send to you. I don't have anybody that is minded like he is. I don't have anybody with the same kind of spirit and attitude that he has. I don't have anybody with the same care for you as Timothy. It's interesting here to look at this word naturally. Paul says, I don't have anybody like-minded or minded like Timothy who will naturally care for your state. The word naturally there in the King James Version is an interesting word. The New King James Version translates that sincerely. The American Standard translates it truly, and in the margin has the word genuinely. This is a word that does mean genuinely or sincerely. And there is a kindred word in the Greek New Testament that is used in other passages that conveys a similar idea, the idea of being genuine and true and sincere. And it's very interesting that that is the exact word, this other kindred word now in the Greek, is the word that Paul uses in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, when he describes Timothy as my own son in the faith. The word own there is a word that is very, very similar to this word that we're looking at. It's also used in Titus chapter 1, verse 4, where Paul says that Titus is his own son after the common faith. So what is Paul saying here? He says, I don't have anybody else who will be concerned about you like Timothy will. And his concern is a genuine concern. Timothy truly cared about these Christians in the city of Philippi. And you could tell that. Paul could see that. You see, that kind of sincerity shows, doesn't it? The Bible shows that Timothy was never a fake. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul talked about the unfeigned, that is, the unhypocritical and sincere faith that was in his mother and grandmother, and now he says that same kind of genuine, sincere faith is in you. So Timothy really cared about these people. And that was not because he wanted something from them. It was not because they were kin to him. It was not because he was going to get attention and praise for going there for himself. It was not about Timothy. It was about them. And this is exactly what Paul was talking about back in Philippians 2, verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Timothy is thinking about them. So it's sad that Paul has to say, I don't have anybody else who has the kind of concern for you like Timothy. That is very, very sad, because Paul knew a lot of Christians. He knew a lot of preachers. And those other preachers and other Christians should have had the same kind of attitude and the same kind of concern that Timothy did, but they didn't. Sometimes today we hear employers say, it's hard to find good people that you can count on. It's hard to find good laborers and good workers that you can hire. Well, sometimes the same thing is true in the church. It can be hard to find a reliable, dependable worker in the Lord's kingdom. Somebody that will do it not for himself, but for other people. So in all the Christians that Paul knew, and all the people that he had taught and baptized, and of all the preachers that he knew, there were only a few that he could really, really count on. And why was that? Why didn't Paul have anybody else to send to the church at Philippi that he could really count on to be concerned about these people in a sincere way? He gives us the answer in verse 21. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Everybody else was thinking about his own business. Everybody else was doing his own thing. People were looking on their own things, not on the things of others. In other words, they were too selfish. They were too involved with their own affairs to think about other people. And that is the problem to this very day, many times, among God's people. It is just plain selfishness. That's what Paul is saying Timothy is not. That's what this whole book is about. Be unselfish. Think about other people. Give, sacrifice things on your behalf so that you can help other people. That was the attitude that Timothy had. But these others that he talks about in verse 21 only were concerned about their own affairs. And let me remind you that in verse 21, Paul is not talking about non-Christians. He's talking about members of the church, because non-Christians wouldn't be concerned about the things of Jesus Christ to begin with. He's talking about members of the church that ought to be more concerned than they are for each other. And he said the sad truth was he didn't have anybody else besides Timothy who would genuinely be concerned about these people in the church at Philippi. But Paul goes on to say, you know yourselves what kind of attitude Timothy has and what a giving heart that he has, because in verse 22 he said, but you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me, but I trust in the Lord that I myself also shall come shortly.